David. Justin Kaufman, Extension 720 here on 720 WGN with you till 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up, The Unspeakable Mind, Dr. Shelley Jane, who is a medical director for integrated care at the VA in Palo Alto, as well as a professor at Stanford. We'll talk about her new book, The Unspeakable Mind, Stories of Trauma and Healing from the Front Lines of PTSD Science. She's one of the foremost scientists who's researching this issue, and of course has a lot to talk about when it comes to trauma, but also about how we move trauma from one generation to another. It could be hereditary. That's something that they're looking into research. So that's a fascinating topic and conversation coming up at 9 o'clock here on Extension 720. Well, there's a story today on NPR.org, about a woman who had spinal surgery. She had insurance. She paid her bills. And then out of nowhere, a new bill came in the mail for $94,000. What? It was for a very specific warning system that was used to alert doctors if they were getting too close to the nerves. No one's arguing that that wasn't important, but the third-party company charged the insurance company almost six figures for something that most experts say shouldn't have been more than a fraction of that cost. And the insurance company wouldn't cover it, so the price got pushed to the patient. I'm sure this is not a new story to you, or maybe you have your own personal experiences with the healthcare system. And that's precisely why my former colleague and Marketplace journalist Dan Weissman started a new podcast called An Arm and a Leg. It's a collection of stories of the healthcare system run amok. He just started season two. In it, he talks to several people who talk about their experiences with confusing procedures and complex billing and rage-inducing practices from the medical community and healthcare providers. Like this story from Blake. It's simple. He just needed a leg brace.
And I was thinking, you know, I wonder what they're going to charge the insurance company for this brace. And I looked on the site and I'm like, hey, Google it. And I Google it. And then I found this one medical supply company brand new for $150. I kind of put it in the back of my head. Enjoyed using the brace as much as possible. And then the bill came.
And what did it say?
$1,400 for a brace I could have hobbled home and Googled and had it in-house the next day for $150, brand new.
And you double, triple checked that this was the exact same thing?
Exact same. Went right to the manufacturer's website, looked at where I could buy it. It's the exact same brace from the exact same manufacturer, not refurbished, not reused, nothing.
Or how about Liz? Liz just needed an MRI when she got the bill that said she had to pay $1,600 out of pocket. Well, first thing she did was take it to social media.
And I thought, ooh, I'm going to do a screenshot of this bill and share it in that Facebook group because clearly something is wrong here and somebody on the internet will tell me that I really don't have to pay $1,600 and all I need to do is ask this one question and magically I won't have to pay this money anymore and I'll go to Disneyland. And so I took a screenshot, crossed out identifying info and just said, hey, what is this really what I have to pay? And everybody's like, yeah, that is your portion. Sorry to break it to you.
But Liz, not unlike Blake, was forced to comparison shop. She needed another MRI, so instead of following a referral from a doctor, she found a place that did her scans for under $100.
I leave the room, I put my clothes back on, I go out to the lobby, and then they said, all right, here's your scans. I mean, they're literally handing them to me within that time it took me to put my clothes back on, my scans, and they handed me a bag with two chocolate chip cookies in it. I was like, what? Like, and cookies?
These are just two of the stories featured in season two of the podcast, An Arm and a Leg. Dan Weissman is with me tonight to talk about the podcast and the eye-opening experience of the horror stories of dealing with healthcare as we know it. So I start, Dan, why did you start this podcast?
I started it because this is kind of number one issue in my own life. For a long time, my wife's had her own business, and that's meant that I've had to have a job, kind of job, that has health insurance because we need that kind of stuff.
Right.
And there came a moment where I'd left a job and I was like, damn, I'm in the kind of field where I might need a new career. There might not be another job for me that makes any sense in this town. And going off my own is scary because where's the health insurance? So I gave myself, I had this one idea, which was, I'm not the only person in this kind of mess. And I gave myself a week to just talk to people and say, like, what do you think? Could this work? And they didn't talk me out of it. And so I kept giving it more weeks to get more people to talk me out of it. Nobody did.
The story of healthcare, I mean, obviously, you know, your personal story of why you got in there is one that kind of gets tossed around when you talk about Obamacare and other places. That was the whole concept to help the freelance gig economy. But it's a story that, as you started saying, I'm doing a podcast about healthcare, more stories about healthcare came out. It wasn't just about the gig economy. It's about a lot of other things.
Everybody that I talked to had a story of their own. I tell a guy at when I'm at school drop off, I'm like, I'm thinking, he's like, oh yeah, you know, my wife makes a lot less than I do, but she's got good health insurance, and that's important because we moved a couple years ago and I felt a little short of breath and that was weird. I went to the doctor and they were like, you had a heart attack. And he walked out with what would have been a $300,000 bill for surgery, but he had health insurance. But he was like, if I didn't have the health insurance, I wouldn't have made the call. And they told him, if you hadn't made this call, the next time you would have had occasion to call us, you would be dead.
As a reporter, as you hear these stories, does it mount in your mind about the severity of healthcare and the healthcare issue in this country?
As a reporter, I hear a story like that, and I'm like, hot dog, man. You know, that's material. It's great. It's good copy. It's good tape. But, you know, over time, I definitely experienced, like, this is pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And I mean, we all walk around with it. I don't know what your situation is, but you seem to have a pretty nice job. I hope they take good care of you with the health insurance. But like, I mean, reading about it, definitely as I developed the show, I was like, our family was precarious. And I knew a lot of people were just like, okay, I hope this job works out. I hope this career change works out because the healthcare is really important. But what came out too was like, stuff can just hit you. You think you're okay. And then suddenly it's like, nah, that wasn't covered. Oh, we're going to fight you on that. Or, ah, we pulled your coverage for this. Or your share of this is $20,000.
That's the part that I want to know more about. Because, you know, I think a lot of people who do have healthcare through their insurance for their work and insurance carriers, things like that, they don't recognize that there is a large percentage of Americans that don't have health care, that are just going without it and having to make choices in their life because of it. Chronicle a story of a couple that they don't want to call the ambulance.
They were pregnant. They had been very, very careful. Before they got pregnant, more than a year before they got pregnant, they're like, we want to get pregnant. And the woman was like, and I want to go back to school. But her job was the one that had health insurance. The husband had his own business. They sat down for days and looked at everything on the Obamacare exchange. And they were like, can we make it work? Can it go? Should I keep this job? And they were like, no, we can do it. And then they were like, we want to have a baby next year. Well, okay, which of these plans should we go for? Like, we should decide where we want to have this baby now. We're thinking we can get pregnant next year. We should decide where the kid's going to get born now so we can figure out what insurance to buy so that where we want to have the kid is where we have coverage. And they did that. They spent days doing this. And they paid the premiums and they paid the premiums and they paid the premiums. And then they kind of switched the account they were paying a premium from. Like, this is now, fast forward a year and a half.
Yeah.
She's pregnant and everything's great. They switched the account they're paying the premium from. They write a check. They send it by mistake to the hospital instead of the insurance, which are this owned by the same company.
It's an honest mistake.
An HMO.
Right.
They send it to the wrong place, and they're like, great, okay, we paid that premium. They pay the next premium, and there's a second hiccup with that one, which is for a couple days, they're overdrawn on that account. But that's the day when the check comes in. Mm-hmm. They don't know. They think they've paid their premium. That all goes down in September of 2018, in October 2018. Couple weeks into October, they get a letter saying like, oh, you're canceled. We didn't get your premium. You're done. And we were dropping you as of a month ago. Goodbye. And they're like, what? Like, we paid this.
Right.
We paid this already.
Pregnant.
And we're pregnant. Yeah. Like, And they call. And the people at the insurance are like, you bought this through the Obamacare exchange? You got to call the people who run that for the state. And people at the state are like, no, this is something with the health insurance. You got to talk to them. Back and forth, around and around. 2 weeks. And then they're like, okay. Like, no one's helping us. No one's doing anything. Okay. The baby's not due till January. We are signed up for new insurance for next year. Let's hold our breath. Pregnancy's going well.
And let's try to make it to January.
And make it to January. Do the math. Like, we're going to have some prenatal visits and stuff. Like, call ahead. Ask about every blood test. We need to do it. How much is it going to cost? And they start doing that. And then, a couple weeks later, she's coming home from work and she feels something weird, which turns out to feel like she didn't know this at the time, her water breaking. And, you know, she gets home, she checks her underwear, and there's blood in her underwear. And that's when they call the ambulance. Or rather, he calls the ambulance, and she's like, no, no, tell them not to come. We don't have health insurance. We can't afford that.
There's a great, and this is the, in the sound of them telling the story, that they kind of put their hoods up or whatever. They kind of walk past the ambulance coming up. Like, yeah. we're just innocent. We're just walking by. This is, we didn't call the ambulance.
Ambulance? What? 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 Yeah. Not us.
I mean, these stories that you hear and these stories you're collecting for the podcast, they're all variations of this, this idea of how to live with and without healthcare. When you hear these stories and you collect them and you say in the podcast, there's many more coming. I mean, they just, you never run out of material. As a former business reporter and someone who has definitely paid attention to the way that our systems work, are you alarmed by all these stories?
I mean, it's like a lot of things, right? Like climate change. It's like, I'm alarmed and I get up and go to work every day, yeah. And, you know, all kinds of things. Like, it's alarming. It's, like, crazy. And so, okay, great. Like, I get to chronicle all this. For me, I'm just like, a lot of material here. This could be steady work for me.
There's another story, too. There's so many stories. You can check it out at armandalegshow.com. Dan Weissman is with me. He's the host and executive producer. There's another story just about, and a lot of stories that are around how much these things cost. And that's really the theme here. But this idea that if you go in for any sort of surgery or procedure,
basic tests,
you're talking about without health insurance, thousands and thousands, and in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And people have been faced with that. And they just kind of get to the idea of why it costs this much money. Why does, you know, when you're going to have a colonoscopy, which everyone says you have to have, that when you look at the raw numbers of it, they want $50,000. Like, what is that? I don't understand why that is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, such a good question. Like, why is that? So, I don't know about the $50,000 colonoscopy,
sure,
in particular, just, but like,
very,
but like
specific.
I was like, that's alarming. That's great. Wow. Who did that? Can we talk about that later? That's a good one. But this is how I understand it, right? It's basically, okay, a couple things. One, if you're the doc or the billing administrator, whoever's setting the price, you're like, well, I know I'm going to submit this for insurance. And they're going to tell me like, no, we're not going to pay that whole thing. We want a big discount. Well, okay. How am I going to give them a big discount if the price I give them,
right,
is anything close to my actual cost? So I'm going to set the price wherever. I don't know what they're going to say yes to. Let's see what I get. That's one. A woman I'm working with now, Elizabeth Rosenthal, who's amazing. She's the editor-in-chief of a group called Kaiser Health News, and she wrote a book called An American Sickness about all this, and she reported on it for the New York Times for years. She said to me, she was like, she asked the CEO of a hospital in California, why you charge so much for a hip replacement? And he said to her, well, you never know when a Saudi sheik is going to wander in with a suitcase full of cash. Like, it could happen. Like, $50,000 for a colonoscopy, somebody might give it to me. I don't know. It could happen. So that is actually one of the big reasons that happens, is like, don't get it.
Because it's such a major part of the society we live in and the economy that we live by. You would think that there would be more specificity or at least detail to the regulation of this kind of work. And as you see it with the stories being told, more often than not, it is all speculative. It is all, I'm just going to kind of make it up and see what happens, which is a strange dichotomy, right? To think about how important it is and how this has to be a part of everybody's lives. But at the same time, everybody's just kind of winging it.
It's capitalism, baby. Right? I mean, it's just like, whatever, like, okay, it's a business. I'm making a living here. I'm out here in the marketplace. The people I'm dealing with, I mean, another way of looking at it is like, look, I'm a hospital. I'm trying to keep my doctors in line. I'm trying to meet my costs. I got this insurance company. There's some kind of financial shark run by some Wall Street guy breathing down my neck. They're going to look over every damn thing that I send them. I got to maximize, you know, I gotta play the game because I'm playing it with,
right,
the players.
If you don't play it, you're being played. Right?
Yeah.
Doing this podcast and going into season two, which starts this month, I'm fascinated about this concept that we don't really pay attention to our healthcare because there are so many ways that we're insured or, you know, I get it through my work that if I go to my doctor, what I'm paying is not what they're charging.
Right.
And my situation is different than yours, and it's different than Pete's, and it's different than everybody else who might be listening out there. Yet we don't necessarily come together as a society and share this knowledge. It almost feels like it's private information that we don't want to necessarily talk about our healthcare with each other. What is it about that I don't understand the healthcare system and I almost ignorantly choose not to?
Well, I think there's two things. And one of them, I mean, come right to mind. And one of them is like, I don't know, Justin, man, that's like my gross body stuff that I don't feel like we need to talk right, about. Right. It's a little embarrassing, and let's talk about the Cubs or something. I mean, that's one, right? Right away. And the other is, you know, in my own life, I don't want to think about this. You know, I feel like I am old enough. I grew up in a world where, like, and kind of became a grown-up of sorts in a world where, like, you pay somebody a premium for health insurance. You go to the doctor. It's not a major financial decision every time you have a cold or a funny ache. Like, you're just like, okay, I'm going to go to the doctor, and maybe, they charged me $100. You know, I got a $100 deductible. Like, that sucks. But, like, you know, anything that happens, I got to get a colonoscopy. Like, sticker price, and that's, I mean, let's talk about the $50,000 because that is really interesting. But, like, what's the sticker price going to be? What am I going to get charged? And how do I even find out? Because even when you have insurance, you have a deductible a lot of the time, which is a part that you pay before they kick in anything. And one of the ways that things keep ratcheting up is the sticker price goes up on the doc or the hospital side. The insurance company's like, okay, you know, we'll pay you that. They turn around to whoever's buying the insurance plan, paying a premium, being like, got to jack up the premiums, dude, because the prices are going up. And if you've been shopping for health insurance for yourself, you might be like, that's a lot of money. And they're like, well, I tell you what, we could raise the deductible. Mm-hmm. Then premium's lower, right? And so it's not uncommon.
Which is 6 1/2. But
right.
Yeah.
Now it's not at all uncommon for people to have $1,000 deductible, $3,000 deductible, $10,000 deductible. I mean, this is like, I don't know. I mean, I bought my last car for $4,000. You know, that was a big decision. I don't do that every year.
Right.
You know, and if this car goes, you know, we'll think about whether we replace that car or not. But like, yeah, I threw out my knee playing basketball. Like, well, that's going to be that's your $4,000 deductible right there.
Right.
Yeah.
You started this last fall, and it was really a way to explore the same stories that was happening to you as families had to make a choice on what they were doing with healthcare. You're now into season two and several stories that you've helped tell on the podcast. Have you changed your view of the healthcare system and healthcare in general based on the work and the stories that you're hearing?
It's such a good question. I feel like not in a basic way. Like, I started out, this sucks. And I'm still like, this sucks. And I also start out with like, this is ridiculous and could be entertaining to talk about in the right way. And I still seem to be oriented that way. So I think not in any kind of basic way. I feel a little less in the dark than I did. Like this stuff that we're talking about how the prices keep ratcheting up. I feel like I've learned that through doing this. Like I'm a little savvier. But like every time I pick up the phone and talk to somebody, I'm surprised. People who know the insides of stuff, I'm like, I had no idea. And there's still stuff. The episode I'm writing right now is about prescription drug prices and how they get so high and so crazy. So I'm always surprised. And the amount of stuff I don't know is so crazy because it is also, I think, because it is capitalism. It's everybody seeking a side deal and a hustle and a workaround. And there is just no end of stuff to be worked around and no end of ways people improvise around it.
Dan Weissman, longtime reporter, business reporter. He's working Marketplace over at PRI. And, of course, his podcast is called An Arm and a Leg. You can find it at
Arm and a Leg Show.
Season 2 is out this month. Dan, great to see you,
Justin,
as always.
Thank
thanks
you.
For coming in.
Thanks, man.